Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shift Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to, oh my gosh, the 62nd episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We are here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. I'm so grateful for those of you who join us each week, and to my loyal listeners, thank you so much for coming in. I'll start today's show, Everything is Energy, Stress Buster Secret number 62, with a quote from quantum physics. It says, if anybody says he can think about quantum physics without getting giddy, well, that only shows he has not understood the first thing about them. And this is from Niels Bohr. I also liked a quote that said, life is strong and fragile. It's a paradox. It's both things. It's like quantum physics. It's a particle and a wave at the same time, and it all exists together. Today we're going to use Reiki as an example of what the title says, Everything is Energy. And I'm a Reiki master, and I teach Reiki at a local massage school. I also hold some Reiki classes, and I do Reiki on my clients as well. So I found a lot of beneficial effects through Reiki and using Reiki and also teaching Reiki. But I didn't have much about the science of Reiki. I just knew that it worked. So deeper understanding comes from learning everything, both spiritually and physically, and how it fits into everyday life. So this is an article called How Reiki Works, The Science Bit, and it's written by Via Amanda Johnson on February 28th. I'll paraphrase a couple of things that she has to say and then bring you some of my conclusions and impressions about this as well. I know that with energy medicine, people have a hard time seeing that it works. Because it is energy, it's not always seen the way you can measure your blood pressure. However, energy medicine can reduce blood pressure. I'll give you a brief informational bit about that. You know, the four self-healing skills, belly breathing, drinking enough water, awareness, and present moment. And I do not do well with needles. I have tried several things to eliminate or ameliorate the fear of needles. Nothing so far has worked, and I had to go in and get a blood test done last week. I went into the lab, and my experience has been when I have blood tests done that if I find out it's a student who's doing it, I get really highly sympathetic, which means my blood vessels sink well far below the surface. And the poor student has to poke around a number of times, and sometimes they can find a vein and sometimes they can't. And meanwhile, the poking is very uncomfortable for me. So as much as I would like to accommodate students' learning, I have found that I'm not a good test subject for them, that they won't get satisfactory results. So I request that a qualified or a more experienced lab tech take my blood. So I went in and I was belly breathing, and I made sure I had enough water on board. And the lab person is saying, okay, you need to just make a fist. And she's patting and she says, you have great veins. I said, yeah, until a student tries to stick them and then it doesn't work as well. So I said, let me just work with you. And the vein cooperated, and I was belly breathing, and she took all the blood she needed to take. And sometimes they use a smaller bore needle with me and all kinds of stuff. So they do understand that people are nervous around needles, and the best way to do it, especially if you get a really experienced, compassionate lab tech. So how did that work? How did energy medicine help me manage the trauma for me of having a blood test? I understand how my body works. I understand how my thoughts work. I understand stress. I understand stress is the result of three perceptions. And I understand that a little needle sticking me is not a trauma on most people's radar. It is, however, one on mine. So I will manage my stress. I will do some guided imagery while the blood's draining out of my arm. I will do some other types of things to keep that from becoming both a big experience. It was small, and I got a sticker. And to keep that from accumulating in my body, I just released it as soon as I walked out, saying, that was done. You did a great job. Thank you very much. And I moved on with my day. But how do you measure that? Well, I measured it in that I had a good vein. I measured that in that my blood pressure didn't spike. I measured that in various ways of feedback that could be measurable and evaluatable. But you come to Reiki, and most of the measurements are subjective. In other words, the client gives you feedback on how they feel. And sometimes that's accurate, and sometimes that isn't. But I like this article because she says, nothing is as it seems. Most people will view Reiki as a load of mumbo jumbo. But now science and more research is being done on it. And they're finding it tangible and measurable therapy, which scientifically can be understood when we consider the universe from a quantum perspective. So that's why I began using the quote from Niels Bohr, and it really is exciting. Einstein expressed his famous equation, E equals MC squared, which in layman's terms means energy equals matter times the speed of light squared, the speed of light being a constant. And he thought it was a constant, but we since found out it isn't. But that's okay. It's close enough for what we're doing right now. Everything is made up of energy. And it's a little bit about particle theory. Tiny particles in the form of atoms and molecules or ions are moving around at different speeds. And so it's not a question of frequency, such as turning into a radio channel, but because we're not able to experience it through our five senses, we tend to think of it as not being measurable or evaluatable, or how do you quantify results? And so it's kind of been put on the back burner that it's a feel-good therapy and it might help, but maybe not. So if we look at some of the things that our five senses are not able to understand, if we look at, say, for instance, what our visual cortex can see, we can see red through violet, but we don't see the wave of ultraviolet, and we don't see the wave of infrared. They exist nonetheless. So we come to the first question, how is energy therapy tangible and measurable? They are now finding instrumentation that can measure effects of energy therapy on the body. Are there frequencies beyond our physical perception? Yes, as I just mentioned, in our visual ability, we have the ability to see the colors red through violet, and sometimes people who are colorblind can't distinguish in those spectrums. But the light is infinite, and so we're able to see a small section of it and then think that that's all that exists as light, and that's simply not true. And are there frequencies beyond our physical perception? Well, yeah, if we come into a dog whistle, we can train dogs using a sound and a frequency vibration that's beyond our capacity to hear, but the dog hears it. So when we begin to understand that we cannot always rely on our sensory perception to measure effectiveness of energy therapies, and that there are other ways of doing it, then we can begin to understand how it becomes quantifiable, and science can look at it and study it and understand it. So if everything is energy, why does my body feel solid? I like that question. If everything is energy, why does this feel solid? And you may have heard that the amount of matter that actually comprises your body could be fit into a teaspoon, because you're actually more space than matter. And when we look at the energetic side of the E equals MC squared equation, energy vibrates and has frequencies twice the speed of light. So matter has to speed up to twice the speed of light squared, not times two, the speed of light squared. And I'm looking at the speed of light real quickly. I'm Googling it. I didn't do it before the show. I probably should have. So if I Google speed of light is the speed of light is speed of light. Hold on. In miles per hour. Speed of light in miles per hour is 6.706 E plus 8, whatever that means. It's about 186,000 miles per second. Light travels at a constant finite speed of 186,000 miles per second. So if you square that, that's how much faster energy moves than matter. So we're feeling matter, not necessarily energy. But if we sped our matter up to twice the speed of light, it wouldn't feel solid. It would feel energetic. So if everything is energy, why does my body feel solid? Because we've slowed it down to a lot less than twice the speed of light squared. So, again, I just totally amusing because this is that particle. We're both a particle and a wave at the same time. So, and our physical bodies just are made up of energy that vibrates at a particular frequencies, and we have our own biomagnetic field, and my biomagnetic field is different than your biomagnetic field. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. I'd like to remind you that the audio for the free report for the Calm Mom is not available as a bonus at this time. And I also wanted to let you know that I'm looking into putting some of the Stress Buster secrets from the Blog Talk Radio shows and publishing them on Kindle. That is in process. It hasn't happened yet. But I'm giving you a heads up that this is going to happen in the very near future. So if you want to have a book so that you can read and refer to it, those will soon be published, The Five Serious Stressors. You may remember them from the Blog Talk Radio show. Thank you so much, and we'll be back right after this break.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Mom's free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children, have fewer doctor visits, and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you so much for hanging with us through the commercial. Again, I want to just appreciate my loyal listeners and let you know that when I look at my stats, most people listen through the whole show. So thank you for taking about a half hour each week and listening to this Blog Talk Radio show. So we'll come back into biomagnetic fields and how Reiki begins to work. And I'd like to remind you, we've had some talks on this as well, but all thought is energy, and energy follows intention. So when you have a thought that is intentional, then energy will follow that thought. And so with Reiki, if you set a clear intention of beneficial healing energy, that's what begins to happen. So in her article, Abby, I don't know how she pronounces it, says, how does Reiki work? Research into this matter is gradually gaining speed because we're starting to get instrumentation that can measure electromagnetic fields. And I'll read this paragraph word for word. She says, our physical bodies have a mesh of tubes made up of collagen and filled with a very fine fluid called the myofascial system, which links all parts of us, sort of like an energetic superhighway. The myofascial system carries signals in the form of tiny electrical light impulses called biophotons, literally meaning biological light, which are said to be the smallest sparks of conscious energy carrying the very building blocks of life, and this allows all cells to communicate with one another. Now, the amazing thing, as she goes on to talk about, is these biophotons, these light, biological light particles, have actually been photographed in a single block of water or drop of water using a somatoscope with an electrification of 30,000 X. Now, these biophotons can change shape and frequencies and certain types of things. And they can emerge in different ways, such as a series of six-pointed stars or the flower of life or whatever. And we now know that information, energy carries informational substances, and it's constantly moving through our electromagnetic field, our biofield, our physical body in the form of light. And this myofascial system is probably one of the most important systems in the body, and it's the most overlooked. So the myofascial system works with seven main energy centers known as chakras, and we've talked about chakras before as well. However, in a future session, I'll get into chakras a little bit more. But the tubes carrying these biophotons are a little bit thicker in the chakras, and so the chakras can hold more information than simply carrying it through pathways in the body. And so the Reiki practitioners' role in helping move energy and move light through the body is that they have gone through daily meditations, they have gone through proper attunements with a Reiki master, and this means that they're connected then to higher frequencies, and their hands are attuned with symbols that are Reiki symbols. The practitioner acts like a metal rod, and when I teach Reiki, I talk about it being somewhat similar to a PVC pipe where the energy flows through me, my energy, and it doesn't take anything from me. So when the Reiki practitioner connects with frequencies and Reiki energy around us and uses loving intention or thought to heal the recipient, whether it's themselves or someone else, then Reiki becomes a very effective therapy for helping people heal things, feel better, move energy, move stuck energy, move energy that's flowing too fast. And in the article, she mentions that there are now 40 scientific groups researching biophotonics, and they are now recognizing Reiki within our own national health system. I know here in Valley View Hospital, Reiki is a part of the integrative therapies that the hospital offers to patients and to the people that are in there for cancer and other therapies that the hospital has to offer. So what is Reiki and how can it heal me? Reiki helps move and flow energy into places where it needs to go, but the energy itself uses its own intelligence to know where it needs to go. So the practitioner just holds specific parts on the body and allows energy to flow through them. So a biomagnetic field, and how does it work? I believe, I haven't seen this written anywhere, but for me this tends to work. The biomagnetic field can sometimes be interpreted as an aura. And an aura is the field of light and energy that surrounds a person. And many times field is associated with chakras. So the base chakra, the first chakra, is associated with a biomagnetic field very close to the body. And by the time you get out to the seventh chakra, the biomagnetic field of the seventh chakra expands out from your body about as far as your arms do. And how does it work? Well, energy, everything is energy. So the energy is reading your environment. It's reading whether or not you feel safe. And it's bringing those messages and those interpretations into your body, and your body is responding. So the same way that a thought will change your nervous system activity from sympathetic to parasympathetic. Even if you don't have a thought, even if you have a felt sense that you're not safe, your biomagnetic field is picking up information from the surrounding energy and interpreting it so that you don't need to think about it. If a place or a person is not safe for you, you get the information through your biomagnetic field, through your auric field, through your chakras. And many times the result is in your solar plexus area or your solar plexus chakra. And you get a little bit clenching in the gut, and you get a little bit a sense of creepy crawling, and maybe the hairs on the back of your neck stand up if it's something really frightening or really. So your biomagnetic field alerts you to safe or not safe in external environments, and your chakras and your meridians and those types of things alert you to what's going on in the interior of your body. And when you're doing energy therapies of any kind, it is best to come in and talk with your practitioner about what's going on, what your specific stresses are, what your specific health concerns might be, and to talk about an intention for each session. So when I set an intention for a Reiki session, remember, energy follows intention, I set during my meditation that the highest good for all concerned occurs. And then when I have the client there with me, I ask them what intention they would like for me to hold with them throughout the session. Because energy does follow intention, and I'm very, very clear that their intention is the priority of the session, not my intention. As a matter of fact, I do the very best that I can to take myself out of the healing equation, because I do know that all healing is self-healing. So I make sure that my clients have enough water on board Reiki session, that if they're a little nervous about the whole thing, I have them belly breathing through the session. I ask them to be aware of anything, and if they get uncomfortable, to just let me know. Because everything is energy, and I do want our energy to match and balance to the best of our abilities. And I did come up with one more quote by Richard Feynman, and I really like this quote. Trying to understand the way nature works involves a most terrible test of human reasoning ability. I'm going to say that again. Trying to understand the way nature works involves a most terrible test of human reasoning ability. It involves subtle trickery, beautiful tightropes of logic on which one has to walk in order not to make a mistake in predicting what will happen. Quantum mechanical and the relativity ideas are examples of this. I'm going to spend a little bit of time with this quote. I really like this, and I'm looking forward to teasing a little bit apart. But I like this subtle trickery, beautiful tightropes of logic on which one has to walk in order not to make a mistake in predicting what will happen. I just found that absolutely wonderful on so many different levels. So let's talk a little bit about my I don't have a success quote for this week. I use Richard Feynman's. What tool do I use every day? Again, I use mindfulness living. I have talked a lot in my CNC class here at the local college about being mindful or being aware or being present to the moment. And so far, we have had some successful changes in class, and I really appreciate the class working together and using their four self-healing skills and the information about stress so that their lives are working for them even better than they had imagined. And it is possible. What am I going to do for fun? Well, my grandson had his third grade talent show night before last at the school, and I got to go see him. And he comes running up to me after the show, and I thought he handled this really well. I saved a little bit of extra time. He was up at the microphone, and he got a little nervous, and he forgot his line. And instead of panicking and running off the stage, he went over and he asked the teacher, and you could see his lips move. The teacher told him, and he went right back to the microphone, and he said his line beautifully. And I thought that that was a great example of handling a stressful situation. He didn't fight. He didn't fight. He got pretty calm, and he said, okay, who knows what I need to know? Oh, the teacher over there. And he went over and said, what do I say? He remembered it on the way back to the mic, even though he was really nervous about doing this in front of people. And he said it beautifully. So that's a good example of even how a child can handle stress. So he ran up to me after the show, and he said, Grandma, there's a place in Grand Junction, and it's a trampoline place, and would you take me there this weekend? So guess what I'm going to be doing for fun this weekend? Hopefully I'll be taking my grandson to Grand Junction. We'll be jumping on the trampoline. If nothing else, we're going to get together and throw the football because we're both really missing football season. And we both want to go out and have some fun. And hopefully the weather will cooperate. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit MakingShiftsHappen.com and join us again next time.